to a podium and a microphone, but I want you to hear this message. I don't want you to strain for it because it's so important. As I looked at what's going on in our church right now and decisions that are being made and opportunities that are there, I thought it was important, I think it is important, to look at calling. That we each have a calling upon our lives and that we as a congregation have a calling. I'd like to open with a quote from Oz Guinness, who said this: "For followers of Christ, calling neutralizes the fundamental position of choice in modern life. I have chosen you, Jesus said. You have not chosen me. We are not our own. We have been bought with a price. We have no rights, only responsibilities. Following Christ is not our initiative, merely our response in obedience." And we'll come back to that quote later. This passage comes from the book of 1 Peter, and it's the first of two letters that were written by Peter the Apostle. Do you remember the fisherman that Jesus called first to be one of the 12 disciples? This letter was written about 30 years after the death of Christ, and it helps to put in perspective what is being said here, looking back a couple of verses, starting with verse 4, "Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight, and like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Jesus had told Peter in Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 16, he told Peter that he was going to build his church through him. He said to Peter, "And I tell you, you are Peter," the word is Petros, and that's the Greek word for rock, "and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." This letter is about just that, building up God's people to be the church. Verse 9 says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people." What does it mean to write, "You are a chosen race"? That sounds kind of strange in this world that we live in today. But Peter was writing mainly to Jewish converts to Christianity. They had always been told, they were taught, they were the chosen people. They were chosen through the covenant that God had made with Abraham. That covenant expands to include those who believe in Christ. In Galatians 3:28, Paul writes, "There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus." So who is the chosen race, the chosen people? Simply put, it's anyone who follows Christ. He has chosen us, and we in response choose him. Another insight looking in the language, the word race can also be translated as generation. That's easier for us. We are the chosen generation to make a difference right now in what we do in ministry. Then Peter writes, "We are a royal priesthood." What? Aren't priests those that are called to lead churches and synagogues, who go through a lot of training and are set apart to be priests, right? Right? Yes? You're going, "No. Not sure, but I'm sure she's leading us somewhere." Royal we get, but interestingly, it's not in this passage saying that the priest is royal. It's saying that the priest serves royalty. Who is the royalty that I serve? You. Did you know that you're royal? That's pretty fun. In the time of Christ, a priest, the function of a priest was simply this. It wasn't the preacher like we have now, or the person running the church or doing the teaching. That's not the function of a priest in Christ's time. The priest is the one who makes the sacrifices. It's the one who received those animals that were brought forward and sacrificed them on the altar. And remember verse 5 that I just read? Let yourselves be built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices. Oh, that's how we're priests. Because we are offering sacrifices to Christ spiritually. Then Peter says a holy nation, and the word for nation we talked about way back when I first got here. It's the word ethnos. Remember when we talked about, you know, go and make disciples of all nations, and we learned that ethnos means of all ethnicities, right? This is the same thing. And in the Greek, it means a multitude of people of the same nature. What's our nature? What's our nature? Peter writes in his second letter that through God's power and mercy, we participate in the holy nature of Christ. That's our nature. We get to participate in Christ's holy nature. And that makes us a holy nation. And then finally, in that first part, he says God's own people. And it's not own like in, you know, this is my own family. No, it's God's purchased people, bought for him and bought with the price of his son, Jesus Christ. Like the opening quote says, we have no rights. We are owned by God. So how's your self-esteem doing? This is good stuff. This was all good news. You're looking so serious. I know it's hot. I get it. But listen to this. You are chosen by Jesus Christ. Wow. You are a priest among royalty. Royalty. You and I are participants in God's holy plan, and we were bought and paid for by Jesus Christ. That's pretty amazing. And I hope you can take that in and go, whoa, look who I get to be. What difference does it make that you believe in Christ? Everything. But, lovely word, but, it says you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into marvelous light. I love those three words, in order that. Meaning, you don't stop with who you are. There was a reason that this was done. There's a reason that you are who you are. We'll do a little exercise here. Okay, finish this sentence. This is me talking, okay? So you're telling me why I did something. I heated the oven in order that, or so that. Hello. I went to seminary so that. I moved to Orange, Massachusetts so that. I could melt in the summer. I went grocery shopping so that. Okay, what if I just turned on the oven and did nothing with it? It would get hot. What if I went to the grocery store and didn't buy anything? Or do anything? It would be cool. It's air conditioned. What if I moved to Orange and never went to work? I'd be fired. There you go. So what if Christ chose me and you, died for me and you, left a plan book for me and you, And that was the end of it. We were bought and paid for so that we can proclaim his mighty acts. That's the purpose behind it. And it was fun to go into different translations, and I decided to just let myself be surprised by whichever translation Betty used. And Betty, I have to tell you, the one you used was awesome, and it wasn't any of them I looked at, so it was fabulous to have yet another perspective. So listen to this in the New International Version. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. The New Living Translation. You are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. And then finally from the Message, but you are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people, God's instruments to do his work and speak out from him, to tell others of the night and day difference he made for you, and from nothing to something, from rejected to accepted. I like that translation. We are chosen by Jesus not just to be rescued from the consequences of sin, but to make a difference in the world for him. One of my favorite questions, and you've heard me ask it before, is what difference does it make to other people that you are a Christian? So why did I choose this passage for today? Well, when I was first interviewed for this church position almost 2 years ago, do you realize it's been almost 2 years since the initial interview? Wow, time has flown. I believed from the very first conversation, whether I became your pastor or not, that this church had a special calling and was chosen by God. I believe that. It came through in the very first phone interview. When they speak of this church in our conference, and I told you even the president of the denomination talks about us, they speak of how unique this congregation is, how willing you were to go through the vitality process and to make the necessary changes to bring new life into this church. People in town, when I first moved here and I would say, oh, I'm the new pastor of Mission Covenant, they would tell me, that's a special church. They would tell me how friendly you are, how much you give and how much you care. And that meant the world to me. It made a powerful impact on me. Our church next door, our sister church, Bethany, has chosen us as their first choice to receive the legacy of their ministry. That's significant, regardless of what happens with our decision. That's big. But here's the thing. We can be chosen by God and at the same time be useless, because we are to be his tools to make a true difference in this community and in the world. We can come to church once in a while when we feel like it. We can only come to church and forget about Christ the rest of the week. We can spend all or most of our time, energy, and resources doing other things. What is the point of being his chosen people, his chosen church, if we don't meet our potential as his ambassadors in Orange? We have a very big decision that we're going to make next week. Because we are chosen by God for this time and this place in his world, we have a great responsibility to seek his will for that decision. It is to be only about our calling. Not the logistics. Practical things matter, but God is in the details. It is to be about discerning what we are called to do and making certain that we are willing to commit to do what it takes to live that calling, whatever it is. Maybe he's asking us to stay right here, not to receive that gift. Maybe he is. Maybe he's asking us to step out in a huge way. Either way, he's asking us to seek him and to make the decision that he desires. All about calling. Amen? Would you pray with me, please? Lord God, we are humbled to know that you have chosen us as individuals and as a congregation to be your instruments in this place. Lord, make your will known to us. Help us to listen carefully, to invite your spirit, and to pray hard. Lord, we love you, and we do seek to continue to serve you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.